Well, I realize most of you don't need this explanation, but there are some of you that have just adopted the attitude that you're either my mother, my sister, or my wife. So let me just give a little explanation. I'm supposed to be wearing the sling because 2 weeks ago I broke my arm, and the doctor said, quoting the doctor, that I don't have to wear it unless, you know, I'm like out in public. I know we're out in public. What I mean by that, you know, like people that don't know that my arm has been broken. But the reason for that is it's kind of weird. It just took me by surprise because when I broke it, the minute I hit the floor, the first thing I said was, well, let's go to the hospital. And the first thing I thought was, how am I going to wear a shirt? Because I felt this big hole in my arm, a dent, actually, and there was blood going everywhere. So I knew the bone had, you know, protruded through the arm. So I go, oh, this is wonderful. And I thought, how am I going to wear a shirt and how am I going to preach and all the other stuff? And so went to the doctor, and they did surgery, and I've got two wonderful little plates in my arm right down here, with about 6 to 7 screws. I couldn't exactly look. It looked like they just go, hey, this is a great spot for a screw. You know, it's all random looking. It's weird, the x-ray and everything. So they said, you know, actually, we want you to use it. And so the doctor said, you kind of have an external cast, not an external cast, but an internal cast. I said, okay, that's fine. He didn't do me anything for the internal pain, but we're working on that too. Last Wednesday, I asked Larry if he would preach because if I take the drugs that they've given me for pain, I better not be driving or speaking. Because it's just weird things happen when that's. So I'm not on drugs this morning, but I can't wait to get on them. My wife is in New Orleans. She's at a nurse practitioner conference, and the other day she was talking about me going to my follow-up visit, which was Friday, to the doctor, and my shoulder really got a workout. He was trying to eliminate there was any further injury, and thank God there's not, you know, no other cracked bones or no rotator cuff stuff and things like that. But he thought, well, you took me through the Inquisition to find that out. No x-rays or whatever, but she said, you know, you have staples. I had 17 staples in my arm, and she says, you know, I could take those out. And I said, you know, you cannot. So they took those out, and I'm good to go. So hopefully every day gets better. Thank you for your prayers, and got cards and stuff like that. So thank you. Please stop sending the food. No, keep it coming. That's fine, too. That's all right. No, just kidding. Hey, I just want to do something today that really would fall under the definition of a devotional more than a sermon. But I just want to connect a couple of dots for us that are very, very obvious. How many ways can you try to package a Christmas message or a Christmas emphasis, taking all the cliches and all the things that we do about Christmas? I mean, we see this coming a million miles away. Regardless of whether you measure it by what happens in the stores, by the decorations and the things they start getting out, or regardless of whether you're one of those people that you start shopping early, you look forward to it, plan it, and maybe you're one of those people that this is the biggest day in your family's life, big time dinner and that type of thing. Regardless of all of that, how do you make it to where it's brand new? Well, you don't, and you don't try, because there's nothing to try and be invested in trying to make it brand new. It's just you celebrate it for what it is. But that's the danger in all of this, is that we just allow it to be what it has always been instead of what it really, really can be. So if with God's help today, I just want to go down that road. The first thing, I just want to talk about the reality of Christmas. Christmas is coming whether we like it or not. It's like a lot of other things that are like, it's happening. But the problem is that all of us grew up with Christmas. I can't remember a single time in my life that Christmas hasn't been a part of my life. It's not an American tradition, but at the same time, you could throw it in that realm of it's just something we do traditionally here in America. There's going to be Santa Claus, there's going to be presents, there's going to be movies. And you know, how many Santa movies could you make? I mean, they're just inundated with them. Remember in October, you were just going, oh, I just can't wait for Halloween to get over because of all of the stupid horror movies. They're just on 24/7. Well, now we're going through all the Christmas movies, and it almost demeans Christmas because of how cheesy some of these things are and how stupid they are. And you can groan all you want because I'm right there with you. What happened to the good old, you know, just Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? John was even talking about today, you know, he's talking about, I just like those old claymation movies, you know, back when he grew up. Of course, that's just how simple John Stem is. We got Santa Claus, Santa Claus 2, Santa Claus 3, the extra clause, the escape clause, you know, we got all kinds of stuff. It tends to water it all down. The reality is that Christmas is just a part of our life. But also the danger in that is it because it becomes so normal and so anticipated and so common that it also becomes an assumption. We're going to do this whether we like it or not. Christmas is going to happen whether you want it or not, whether you have the money for it or not, whether you want to do it big, little, or different. It's going to happen. There's not a crime in that. It's just that with all of that, we tend to normalize it and we tend to minimize it because it's just another part of reality. Can I just tell you that when Jesus was born, that was anything but realistic and it was anything but normal. And there's no way that I can take the scripture and bring it off the page into our hearts to make it the big time, miraculous, majestic event that it was. Because you and I were so disconnected, and what I mean by that, those people who were there, so disconnected to the Christmas story, we call it the Christmas story, they didn't know it as Christmas, they knew it as the birth of the Christ. They were looking for the Messiah. There were 400 years of silence between the last Old Testament prophet who mentioned anything about the coming of the Messiah and when Jesus was born. The angels, they came down out of up in the fields and the hills and where they were hiding out doing their job. They were the only ones who had gotten the angelic visit to say, go to Bethlehem this day. This is what's happening. We weren't a part of the entourage of the three kings who went to go see him, which we thought it was on the night that Jesus was born. We find out through scripture it was much, much later. Well, all of that to say this, as normal as it is now, it was extremely abnormal then. And just as a lot of people missed it because they weren't listening, they weren't paying attention, we can miss it just because we have heard it so often. And it becomes so mundane and so routine and so easy to just go right into the routine of doing what it is. The reality is that we're going to celebrate Christmas whether we like it or not, whether we're ready for it or not, whether we're prepared for it or not. And that's not a bad thing. Christmas was always a pretty cool idea when I was growing up. I mean, the whole idea of Christmas, it was excitement. We celebrated it by things that we did in school. Everything changed. We did the little gift exchange thing at school. We had parties. We had celebrations. We decorated our classrooms. I didn't go to church, so I don't know what church people did. But I do know one thing. There was this incredible event called High Mass, Midnight Mass, that I went to with my mom as this wonderful, beautiful Catholic lady every Christmas. And, of course, it marked a couple of things for me since I didn't have a real connection with Jesus Christ. It marked, you know what, we're going to go to this thing. We're going to sit through this thing. We're going to listen to those people sing those really crazy songs. And there's going to be a big organ thing, and you got to dip your hand in the water before you go in. And you got to do all of these other things. We're going to go home. We're going to go to sleep, and Santa Claus is coming. Not a bad thing. There was an association with church, an association with Jesus in there, because there was always this really, really cool manger nativity scene that they set up in the church. And my mom had this nativity scene that she always put on top of the TV. And it was just front and center. It was just fabulous. But there's never a personal connection. It was just the reality that Christmas was going to come. But always, after that, needs to come the discovery of Christmas. Not that we're discovering that it exists because it never had, but the fact that we discover who it is all about. We have all of those wonderful little statements about Jesus being the reason for the season. And we have all of those things that connect us with us verbally, and we understand that. But it's obviously not because we never knew it exists. The discovery is that it's connected with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not connected with a guy who can deliver toys miraculously in this sleigh to everybody in one night. It's a great myth. It's a great story. It's a great legend. It's a great, you know, tale. It makes for great movies. But Jesus Christ, the eternal God, came to be a part of our lives for eternity, forever and forever and forever. And not to make sure that we were happy because even though we didn't have any money, something showed up on Christmas morning. And you know what? Even these words are kind of just almost going over our head because we hear this every Christmas. This is just another part and ingredient for the Christmas story and the Christmas emphasis. But it needs to be a discovery on our part. Even if it needs to be something that we rediscover. Even if it's old news, even if it's something that is old as yesterday's paper, you heard this same thing last year. You knew what's coming. You've been hearing it for a while. You've gotten some Christmas cards. You're wishing you could get your Christmas cards out. That and all of the other things associated with it. There needs to be that personal discovery that Jesus Christ is the difference in what Christmas, every Christmas, not just this Christmas, but every Christmas is all about. If we miss that, we have missed out of the greatest thing that Christmas represents. Have your party, have your great family circumstances, get the best gift you ever got in your whole life, do something wonderful, believe in something wonderful, you know, create something wonderful, but without Jesus, it's just smoke and mirrors. And we can't risk that happening. Today is only December the 8th. We got time. I mean, it's not that we have a competition with December the 25th. We have time to set the pace, not only for the rest of this Christmas season, but for the rest of our lives. Let me take you to John, the first chapter, 10 and 11. John is the only disciple who did not write about the Christmas story. He didn't tell of the mangers, or he didn't tell of the wise men. He didn't tell of the birth of Jesus. He didn't tell about when Mary had the angelic visit, or Joseph had the visit of the angel saying, yes, this is true, take her to be your wife. But this is what he said in verse 10 and 11. He, meaning Jesus, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet it's in verse 12 that we see the heart and the soul of this message. The discovery is right here. The discovery of the real point in all of this is in verse 12. He says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. There is something so absolutely miraculous in discovering who Jesus is. Not that he is what Christmas is all about. Not that he's the reason for the season and all those other wonderful cliches, because they still fit and they always will. But the fact that he became our Savior, he became our Lord, he became our Master. Do you remember what it was like when you first met Jesus? Do you remember how your life changed? Do you remember the circumstances? Some of you, it was just a wonderful discovery because you've been in church all of your life. You'd heard so much about Jesus. You could write the book on what it is, who Jesus is. You could fill in all the blanks, but he never became your personal Lord and Savior. He was just another person associated with church, but on some day, somewhere, it may have been children's church, it may have been camp, it may have been a regular church service, it may have been at a friend's house. It didn't have to be in a church setting, but all of a sudden you realized you needed this man in your life, not as an item or a fact. You didn't need him to be a trivia question that you could answer. You needed him as your Lord and your Savior. Everything changed. It was your day of discovery. There is the coolest thing in the world, I think, is the testimony of somebody who says, you know what? I don't have a testimony. You know what they mean by that? I've never been horrible. I never did drugs. I never was irresponsibly sexually. I never did horrible things. I never hurt anybody. You know, they were looking for some big, bad drug addiction life. They were looking for some horrible, you know, history in their life to see that I needed this Jesus, and he came in and he saved me. I love it when we bring the ladies over from the Freedom House and they stand up here and they talk about the life that they lived, how they've been addicted to prescription drugs, and some of them have been horribly, horribly irresponsible sexually. Some of them have children out of wedlock. Some of them have been, you know, just literally separated from their families because of the lives that they've chosen. And then Jesus, they give me Jesus and how all of that changed. And with tears in their eyes and tears in our eyes, we hear them say, you know what? And now I'm getting to know my family again. And I think I'm going to get to be able to raise my son or my daughter again. And you see the reconnection. It was a day of discovery in their life. But the greatest testimony for all of us isn't that we had to go through some hard, horrible road, but that we discovered who Jesus was. The travesty, the absolute tragedy of this season would be going through all of this season without the discovery being brand new and being fresh. You know, Paul said this. He said, I die daily. He was talking about a recommitment. He was talking about a choice that he made in his mind. But how cool would it be if every day you rediscovered something fabulous about the Lord Jesus Christ and applied it to your life? I don't know if any of you have ever done this. My mom did it one year, and it was okay, but it wasn't that big a deal. And I think it's because she had 6 kids. But about 10 days out of Christmas, she had a gift for every one of us. Little bitty deal, no big, you know, wasn't any big thing, but every day we knew there was going to be another present. So we were just all excited. We didn't know how my mom did these things because our house was really small, and I knew where everything was in the house. I mean, you know how kids are. They know where everything is. So if you think you got it hidden from them, forget it. They know exactly where it is. And every day there was another present, and it was really, really cool. Don't point at your children. They'll learn a lesson all on their own. But it was really cool. Every day a new present. You know, every day needs to be that way with us in Jesus Christ. I don't know why, but we have this unofficial, and it's a human ceiling that we've created in our life, that there's this ceiling, there's this place you get in God, and that's it. And you just kind of hover there, and you're hopefully happy you're there, because there's nothing more. Are you kidding me? There's more, and more, and more, and more, and more, and the discovery never quits. It's like finding one little thing that opens the door to just something else, and we just walk through it, and we begin to see how fabulous that is. Man, when I discovered Jesus Christ, I discovered I didn't have to cuss anymore. I discovered I didn't have to lie anymore. I discovered I didn't have to try and pretend anymore. I could just be myself. There was a lot I needed to learn, but how cool was that? It was a day of tremendous discovery. Now, the problem is this. Most of you have already been to the Holy Land, so how can I preach to you about going to the Holy Land? Most of you have been to a movie, so how can I get you excited about going to a movie? Most of you have a wonderful flat-screen TV, beautiful picture. How can I sell you on that? Because it's already a part of your life. You don't need to discover that. It's already a part of your life. Well, so is a Christmas message just like this. Unless you begin to internalize it. You know how most people get there? They get there through tragedy. Or they get that through something horrible that happens to them, and it is taken away or it is denied them, and then they began to cherish it. Can I just tell you how excited I am about the day that I get to lay on my side and go to sleep again? I'm not sleeping good. I told the doctor, said, man, I am not sleeping good at all. He said, is it the pain? I said, no, it's my stinking back. I said, I sleep on my side, but this arm, I just can't, you know, and I said, I need something to sleep. So it's crazy. Something as little as just sleeping on your side, I can't wait. It's exciting. I'm just glad that, you know, things like French silk pie weren't, you know, taken away from me because of a broken arm. I got to tell you, it was so funny because when I broke my arm, first thing I started thinking about all the things I couldn't do. Told you I couldn't put my, you know, cut thoughts. How am I going to put a sleeve on? You know, I thought it would be uppers. And I really thought it would be one of those casts, you know, where they prop your arm up out like this and you look, you know, all this stuff with a broomstick or something. I don't know. I was just envisioning all of these contraptions that I was going to be in. It was just crazy. But you know what? We've been denied nothing. We've been given full access to everything. It's just that we have not stepped out to receive. This is your day. It's your wonderful opportunity to discover, probably of choice more than anything else, just who Christmas represents. Did you hear what I said? Who Christmas represents, not what. It's Jesus Christ. Let me just leave you this one last thought. You know what Christmas does for us? Instead of a conclusion, it provides a journey. Instead of a period, there's a comma. Instead of it coming to this event that we plan for, we look forward to, we unpack it, we put it up, we decorate it, you know, and thank God for all the people that came and helped decorate all of this stuff. You know, I'm down to 1 hour. All I can do is point and there you go do that and all this other stuff. And I just felt useless. But we're doing all of this decoration and people just showed up and did so many things. It's just fabulous. Well, you know what? After Christmas, we're just going to pack all this stuff and put it right away. The sad thing is the emphasis, the discovery of who Jesus is all over again in Christmas is usually put away in those boxes, and we just put it on the shelf. God forbid we do that. It is a door that opens up to brand new adventures, even if you're not looking for it. We need to understand that. Listen, Jesus opens up many, many doors of possibilities that we never, ever dreamed would be possible. There is a Christmas miracle that's waiting for you. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what form it'll come. I don't know if it's in the form of something physical. I don't know if it's a new relationship. I don't know if God heals a relationship. I don't know what it's going to be. But if you don't open your eyes to look for the discovery, it'll pass you by. You'll not even see it. It's going to be something that is just unbelievable. How many of you have friends on Facebook that have little children? Aren't you sick and tired of seeing your kids, those kids' pictures? Just leave them alone. Quit giving me those three or four little second, you know, where they spit up and you go, isn't that cute? I mean, just who cares? Just get them off Facebook. I don't want to have to look at that stuff. Now, you see, you know what? Here's the real truth of it is this. If I don't want to look at it, get off of Facebook me. I'm the one that just gets off of Facebook. Why should I complain about you? To you, it's the greatest thing that ever happened. Your kid said something. Your kid did something. He sang a little song. So what? But to you, it's the greatest thing in the world. You know why? Because that's your kid. Wouldn't it be cool if we had the same feeling about our Jesus? Wouldn't it be so cool if we were looking, because you're looking. You're just waiting for that first step. You're waiting for that circumstance and celebrating again. Why does it have to be limited to something that's just small and cute and cuddly? Why it can't be something God did something in your life? I'm going to tell you what, and I can't go down this road, but there have been so many cool things that God has done since I broke my arm. Even to the point, and this sounds almost absurd, that I would almost literally, I mean this with all my heart, but it just has a hard time saying it. I almost want to say, God, thank you for what happened, not because I broke my arm, but there's so many little cool things that happened that would have never happened if it hadn't happened. Now, here's the sad thing. Why does God have to use always something that seems to be like a harmful or a dangerous or a something that takes from us, diminishes our life? There's a lot of cool, happy things that are happening out there that aren't broken bones. They're just blessings. Look for them. Discover them. Open your eyes and contribute to them. Be a part of it. Why can't you be an instrument of that discovery that somebody needs? Why can't you step in? This is the best, perfect possible time of the year when somebody just needs to know that even though they're not sure how Christmas is going to go, that you step in there and tell them exactly how Jesus is going to take this Christmas. That you be the joy that they're looking for. That you be the reason that they find to celebrate. That you are the reason that they find this occasion to find this is the best, fabulous time of the year. Quit waiting for Bing Crosby to show up and have a great, great song. Quit waiting for It's a Wonderful Life. He's already given us a wonderful life. So let's expand on that and just work with it. Most of us spend our time looking back, celebrating the here and now. And you know what Jesus wants us to do? He wants us to look for what's coming. And I can't tell you what it is, but I can promise you He's got it. He's got it. And 9 times out of 10, it's not going to show up under the tree. It's going to show up around the tree. It's probably going to be in the face of another person. It's going to be an expression. It's going to be something that He does very unique in your life. It's going to be one of those things that late in the night when nobody else is associated, God's just going to just put the spotlight on your heart. He's going to just mess you up because He's going to bless you so much unless you're not looking for it. So let me conclude by saying this. Listen, our success or our future should not be measured. Should not be measured by where we have been, but rather where we're going. This should be the greatest Christmas. Why? Not because it's the next Christmas. It's because somewhere in here, God has planted in our heart a seed of faith that says, oh God, help me to see, help me to believe, help me to be a part of the discovery of what you're going to do. Not just this Christmas season, because that has a calendar date of when it ends. December 25th, it's done. And we will turn the page and all the decorations will disappear. We'll spend 1 week talking about Dick Clark and everybody else, and then we're going to go right on into 2014. And that's it. God forbid that it end right there. Bow your heads with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would just help me in this congregation just for 1 second. Just pause. And God, even though we don't know what to expect, but help us to say this somewhere deep in our heart, somewhere in the base of our faith, help us to say, God, help me to be looking for and to position myself for that miracle. Help me, oh God, to be looking with my heart, with my eyes, with my soul, with my spirit, and everything within me to see the very thing you want me to discover. But, oh God, let me also position myself to be a part of that miracle. God, help me to be the one that you lay on my heart to say something, to do something, to make that discovery so vital to someone else. We ask you to do that, God, because you and you alone are the one who can do it. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. I'm not going to ask for anybody's hands raised, but I will say this. Hey, right there, if you're looking for a discovery moment, now's your time. If you're waiting for a feeling, you're probably going to miss it. If you're waiting for a decision, then it's right there in your lap. It's within your power to make that decision right now to say, God, I choose to rediscover who you are right now. I choose not to let this Christmas just be another reality that it's going to come and go. I choose, oh God, for you to open incredible things in my life, to set me on that journey that opens the door to all possibilities. And I pray that you'll do it today. You'll do it in my heart. And you'll do it for eternity. In this Christmas, not because we're comparing it to any other, but because of it's this time of year. It's just right now's the time. This will be a great Christmas. Others will always outshine it because of something we got or something we did or someplace we went. But God, we want this to be the very, very best Christmas you designed this Christmas to be. In Jesus' name, amen. We started off with some Christmas music. I would like for us to end just singing those Christmas songs once again. And maybe we can sing it with a little more enthusiasm. Maybe we can sing it with a little different tone in our heart, because now we're celebrating the discovery of Jesus Christ. Amen? You stand with us. John, will you dismiss us in prayer after you lead us in these courses, okay?